4:1. All right, in Luke chapter 15, would you read with me from verse 3? Luke 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is live again. He was lost and is found, and began to be merry. Now I want to talk to you about the lost. This young man here represents mankind. He represents any individual that would be in this room. It represents any individual that's in the world today. The father represents God Almighty, and the parable is likened to that in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, he said there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the certain man there represents mankind in general. Jerusalem, in the context of Luke chapter 10, represents the place of blessing in God. God's place of blessing was at Jerusalem at that time. And Jericho represents judgment. Mankind went down from God unto judgment. In other words, he's going down continuously from God's blessings unto a place of judgment. And Jesus said, that certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they robbed him and stripped him of his raiment and left him half dead. In other words, that man back there represents humanity who has left God Almighty, has gone into the world. They're going headlong into judgment. They've run into satanic forces on the way. The devil has robbed mankind. He's killed them by the thousands. They're lying in the streets dying, and they've been stripped, so to speak. In other words, the righteousnesses that would have been theirs is all gone, and the Bible said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, the parable is like unto this one here. The first two parables that he gives just represents the fact that God Almighty is seeking after that which is lost. The other parable, it has to do with the fact that man is involved. The father representing God, the son representing some man that leaves when he becomes of age, leaves God, leaves any moral righteousness that he ever might have had, and goes into the world and wastes everything upon the life that there is in this world. I can see it as a physical father today with a son that has that young man, and that young man becomes of age, and suddenly he wants to be on his own, as I did. When I became a certain age there, I wanted to get away from home so bad I didn't know what to do. I was raised in a family that believed in touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't go there. It's wrong for you to go over there. It's wrong for you to do that. Don't eat any of that. Don't you taste that. And on it was always don't. And so I decided that if I can ever get away from this place, I'm going to touch, taste, and handle. And that's exactly what I did. I was like that young man saying, give me that which comes to me. I want to get away from here. I'm tired of being fastened to your apron strings. I'm tired of you telling me what I can do and what I can't do and when I can and when I can't do it and whatever. I don't ask anybody. I'm on my own. I'm getting out of here. Well, this young man had that same attitude, and the same attitude is people's attitude toward God Almighty. They say, I don't want anything to do with this God that you have. I don't want to be under any control here. I want to be set free. I don't want to be under any kind of law, any kind of moral statutes and whatever, and on, and they just want to get away so we can live it up. We can enjoy ourselves and have a party and whatever. All right, the young man leaves. He goes out and he spends everything that he's got. And after he's spent it, he finds himself in a hog pen feeding the swine. And he's like mankind out there today that's living in sin and wallowing around in the hog pen. And this reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 tells about an individual that the sow that has been washed, that is wallowing in the mire again, representing those that have repented of their sins and whatever, and then gone back into the world again, and they're just living exactly like they were in the first place. Now, there are several things that I want to refer to the lost tonight, about being lost. In fact, about six things, and as fast as I can go with them, I want to relate these things unto you. The first thing that I want to mention to you is the certainty of the lost. You must understand now, when I say lost, I'm talking about lost in the sense that this Bible refers to being lost. That is, lost in the sense that they can't find God. They can't get to where God is. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. The Bible said that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the fact is that every one of us have that same condition about us. And unless the Spirit of God dealt with us, we would never come to the place where God is. And that teaching that you can train a child from the time that he's a little baby and train him and that he will be a Christian when he gets older is just a lot of bunk. The real truth of the matter is that unless an individual received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is no possible way that they can be saved. As that young man there went out from his father, mankind has gone away from God. Oh, they may be religious, but in their heart, the Bible said, they are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that young man got out there and finally found himself in that condition, realized where he was, realized what kind of situation could be his if he returned unto his father, and in effect, that fellow repented of his condition that he was in out there. He saw his condition for what it was, and that's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to see your condition for what you are by nature. And seeing that condition, if you are like that young man out there, then get up out of that condition that you're in and go unto God. The certainty of the lost. Now, first I want to mention to you that the word lost in the Bible is the same word that is translated perish. in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the word in Greek that is translated lost in Luke chapter 15 is the same word translated perish. In other words, to be lost is an individual that is perishing. It is like an individual in the woods out there. And that fellow is walking around in circles out there, and he thinks that he's following trails to get out of there. He thinks that eventually he's going to find his way out of there. And we see him there. We walk up to him and say, where do you think you're going anyway? So, well, I know where I'm going. Well, where are you going then? Well, I'm going to get out of here, so and so and so and so. Said, no, that isn't the way. And he said, well, I believe that it is, and I'm sincere in what I'm doing, and as long as I'm sincere in what I'm doing, I know it's going to work out. Baloney. That fellow just stay out there walking in circles until he perishes with no food and whatever. That's like an individual on his way to Mobile, Alabama. And you see him, he's heading on I-10 over toward Tallahassee, and you say, mister, I got news for you. That is not the way. The way to Mobile is back this way. And the fellow said, let me alone. I know what I'm doing. And you say, well, you may think you know what you're doing, but I'm telling you right now, the way to Mobile is back that way. And the man said, I'm very sincere in this. My mother and my daddy went this way, and I'm going to go this way, and I don't need your help. I'm going to Mobile, and I'm going to go this way. And I guess that if he went all the way around the world and came back from the other side, eventually he might make it there. The point being, what is lost? Lost is exactly what it implies. It's lost and can't find your way. Lost in trespasses and sin and can't find your way unto God. Jesus Christ said, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit which of the Father draw them. In other words, you can't get to God without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit leading you unto the Lord. The word lost also is translated destroy in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. In that particular passage, he said unto those people, fear not them that can destroy the body and have no power over the soul. He said, I'll tell you whom you should fear. Fear him that hath the power to destroy both soul and body in hell. The word lost means to be lost in the sense of perishing and going to hell. In other words, if you have never believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are lost. It matters not how religious you are. It matters not how many times that you have been baptized or taken the Lord's Supper or joined a church or any other organization or tithe or whatever you might have done. If you haven't received the Savior, then you are lost this evening. And if you're lost, you are perishing. You are slowly dying in trespasses and sin, and you're just going to end up in hell, and that's the end of it. Now, the certainty of the lost. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The certainty of the lost. 2 Corinthians 4. And notice verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, who is it then that's lost? Those that cannot see the gospel of Christ. Who is the lost? Those that do not know the gospel of Christ. One night, several years ago, I was in a meeting in this town that had to do with the King James Bible. There were some people came from another church in this town and met in a home here, and they wanted to hear me talk about why I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And so these people, I guess there must have been 20 or 30 of them in this place, and these people all believed that the New English Bible was the one that they should use. That was the Bible they were using in that church, and that's the one that they relied upon. And they said, this is the truth. And so I asked them to start with. I said, I would like to ask you a question. What is the gospel? And one said one thing, and another said another thing, and on, and when the thing finally ended up, not one of them knew what the gospel is. I said, that's fascinating. I'm studying a King James Bible, and I know what the gospel is. Why do you not know? Now, if our gospel be hid, Paul said, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, then an individual who doesn't know what the gospel is must be lost. In other words, it is like saying to that individual that is walking around in the woods out there, do you know the trail out of here? And he tells you something else. If he knows the way out, he's going that way. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen to me now. If that fellow's hungry, if he's starving, and there's water outside out there, and there's food outside out there, and he knows the trail out of there, isn't he going to get in it? And if you walk up to him and say, which way leads out of here? And he said, well, that way, when really that way is the way out, you know something's gone crazy. There's something wrong. Therefore, if I walk up to an individual and I say, what is the gospel? And he said, well, it's the Bible. And I say, well, the gospel's in the Bible, all right. And he said, well, it's good news. And I say, well, praise God, you ain't wrong there. It is good news. But what is that good news? And find out that he doesn't know what it is. If he doesn't know what the gospel is, how could he be in it? Like the man that doesn't know the trail out, how could he be in the trail if he doesn't know that's the way out? If you don't know what the gospel is, how could you possibly be saved if salvation is by the gospel? Look in Romans chapter 1, please. In Romans chapter 1, if you have a problem, you'll go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter 1, please. In Romans chapter 1, notice verse 16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, then, whatever the gospel is, there's one thing we know about it. It is the power of God unto salvation. What is it, then, that is the power of God unto salvation? It's the gospel. What is the power whereby God Almighty will save lost souls? The gospel of Christ is. Well, what is the gospel of Christ? Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the way out. Here's the way to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. All right, then we're going to deal with the gospel whereby the Corinthians got saved. And God could save the Corinthians by it, certainly he could save us by it. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. All right, is the gospel then that Paul received? It's the gospel the Corinthians received. It's the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. What is it? Verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that is clear. What is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation? It is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's just say that this right here represents the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross in A.D. 33. The Bible said that God made Jesus to be sin for us. The Bible said, him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, then if God gave his Son, he gave his Son in what manner? By his Son becoming our sin. He became on the cross what we are by nature. Say that this represents our life over here. Here's the beginning of our life. Here's the ending of our life upon this earth. Now, from the beginning of our life to the end of our life, there are just so many sins that can be committed, and that's all there is. I mean, folks, there just ain't no more. I mean, you start here, and you go across, and every day in your life, let's assume that all of them are written down. So we'll change this thing, and we'll make it like a book. We'll say that this represents your diary. This is the diary of your life. It's a book. And God Almighty is keeping record. The day you were born, He started writing down. And when you became of age, the thoughts that came into your mind, He began to write your thoughts down there. He began to write your deeds down there. He began to write down there what you said. He began to write down there the things that you looked upon with your eyes and lusted after. He wrote everything in your life. Turned the page, the next day began to write again. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, so that all the deeds of your life were written in a book. Now, how could that be possible? Well, God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, knew that you would be born. God knew who you were, and if God didn't know that you were going to be born, He isn't God. If God Almighty didn't know all there is to know about your life from before the foundation of the world, He's not worthy of our admiration, and we have no business even being here this evening. In other words, if you don't believe in a God that knows the past from the future and knows everything that ever shall be, then you've got a mighty tiny God. The God that I serve knows what I'm going to have for breakfast in the morning if I have anything. He knows what I will be doing tomorrow evening, and He'll know what I'll be doing next year if I'm around next year. There isn't anything hid from His eyes. Therefore, before you were ever born, this diary had in it all the deeds of your life. Why? Because He knew what they were going to be even before you ever committed them. And when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, God knew whether you would receive His Son or reject His Son. God knew if you would trust Him. In my particular case, I received Christ as my Savior July 22nd, 1955. Now, before the foundation of the world, before a star was ever put in the heavens, God knew that I would do that. And knowing that I would do that, God took that diary of my life and applied it to Jesus Christ on Calvary, and Jesus Christ paid the penalty for every sin in the diary of my life. Not only those that I have committed in the past, but those which I shall commit in the future. Why? Because it all happened in AD 33, and I wasn't born until out here. Therefore, when Jesus died on Calvary, He erased the deeds of my life off of the diary of my life. He took it all away, and it would be as if there is one great big book there, and on this side is my life over here with my deeds. On this side is the Lord Jesus Christ over here. Jesus Christ is sinless. I am filled with sin. And so God Almighty took the deeds off of my side of the ledger and put them on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ and made Jesus accountable for my sins in AD 33, so that in AD 33, He took my sins away, He paid for my sins, and they're all done away with. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the gospel of Christ is the fact that He died for our sins on Calvary, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If Jesus Christ didn't pay for all your sins on Calvary, He paid for none of your sins on Calvary. If all of your sins were not in the future on Calvary, and if He didn't see them all, then He's not worthy for you to receive or trust at all. He either had to pay for all of them, and when you receive Him, all are done away with, or else He paid for none of them. And it doesn't make any difference. You can repent of your sins and do it over and over and over again, but if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means nothing at all. Amen. the certainty of the lost. What is the certainty of the lost? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice the condition of the lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is the condition of the lost? Number one, he's guilty before God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, that by the law all the world are made guilty before God. The Bible says clearly in James chapter 2, verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. In other words, if you think that you can keep the commandments and get into heaven, you'll never make it. Why? If you break one commandment, he said you're guilty of all. It's like a chandelier hanging there with 10 links and a chain holding it, and I go up there and I want to make that chandelier fall. I don't have to break the 10 links. I can break one link in the chain and the thing is going to go crashing to the floor. The Bible says that mankind is guilty before God and that the law declares you to be guilty. How does it do that? Why, the commandment said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, there's nobody in this room that has done that. To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength is beyond you. The Bible said you were born in sin with a sinful nature about you, and the Bible says that the law was weak through your flesh. You haven't loved God with all your mind. The only person that ever did was Jesus Christ. For you to love God with all your mind, you would be thinking on the things of God all the time. For you to love God with all your strength, everything you do, you would do for Him. Why, if you got up and went to work in the morning, you would go to work for Christ's sake. You ladies, if you swept the floor or vacuumed the floor or washed the dishes, you would do so for Christ's sake, and on and on. Nobody has loved God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength except Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the sinless, virgin-born Son of Almighty God. The Bible declares that we're all guilty before God. The Bible says that we're cursed with a curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you have failed in one point of the law, you're cursed with a curse. How's that? Why, the Bible said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you got anything that you haven't divided with your neighbor? Come on, folks, let's get with it. I mean, let's face up to it. Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Why, the only person that ever did was Jesus. You know what he ended up with? A big zero. Why, Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave his life for you. Why, the man was discussing who is his neighbor, and the man said, who is my neighbor? And then he gave the parable about the certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, they stripped him of his raiment, left him laying there bleeding to death, and the Samaritan saw him afar off and went to where he was, bound him up, and so forth. Jesus said here in his love that a man lay down his life for his friends. Would you give up everything you got for your neighbor? How about the fellow right across the street from me? How about down the street? How about me? Did you give up everything you got for me? I mean, I see some of you ladies in here. You're wearing necklaces and earrings. They look like gold. Would you give those to me? I'm your neighbor. You wouldn't? You're a sinner. The Bible said you're cursed. The Bible said cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Why, the law wasn't given to show you how to get saved. The law was given to show you that you need a Savior. The law was given to show us that we're cursed. The law was given to show us what we are. The law is like a mirror. I want to know what E.C. Moore looks like. Look in the mirror. And get up real close. I can see the marks in my face. I can see the wrinkles there. I can see the changes that are coming over me year by year. I can see the fact that my hair is falling out and all and all. I want to know what I look like. Look in a mirror. The law is like a mirror, spiritually speaking. You want to know what you are spiritually before God? Look at the law. It'll reveal you for what you are. Cursed with a curse. That isn't all. The Bible says that every lost person is ignorant. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is very clear along these lines. That is, that individual that is lost is blinded spiritually and ignorant of the things of Almighty God. Can't understand the scripture. Why, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Why, you can't understand the things of this Bible except by the Spirit of God. And you can't have the Spirit of God in you to show you unless you've got Jesus as your Savior. Man is ignorant. Can't understand. And that isn't all. The Bible said you're dead in trespasses and sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Why, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never, and you haven't if you didn't believe that he died for all your sins, if you believe you've got to be good to get to heaven, and if you believe you've got to live without sin to get to heaven, and you believe that you've got to do things over and over to get rid of your sins, then you sure as this world don't believe that he died for all your sins on Calvary. Why, that's the greatest reproach you could bring upon the pure, sinless Son of Almighty God by trying to save yourself after God gave him for you so that he'd save you. Lost. Guilty before God. Declared to be guilty. Dead in trespass and sin. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, without hope. And that isn't all. Man in this condition doesn't know how to get saved. Do you know that? Well, I think about that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 there. Old Philip walked up where that fellow is and he's reading there. And Philip walked alongside that chair and said, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man show me? And Philip got up in the chair with that fellow and read in there and preached Jesus Christ unto him. Why, you don't even know how to get saved unless God Almighty reveal it unto you. What is the condition of the lost? Blind, ignorant, cursed with a curse, dead in trespass and sin, doomed and damned and going to hell. And if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I have to tell you this. The only thing between you and the fires of hell right now is a heartbeat. One little heartbeat. And it's goodbye. That's all. Why, the Bible said now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. God never said he'd save you tomorrow. God Almighty said he'd never pull you out of the fires of hell next week. God Almighty said he'd save you now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the hour. Are you lost? You are if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins on Calvary and that God Almighty raised him from the dead. The condition of the lost. Then notice the condemnation of the lost. Look in John chapter 3, please. In John chapter 3. In John 3, verse 18. John 3, 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The condemnation of the lost. Condemned before God. It is not going to be condemned, already condemned. The Bible said, by one man's disobedience, condemnation came upon all men. So by the obedience of one, justification came upon those that believe. In other words, through Adam, we were born in a state of condemnation. Adam sinned against God and lost that image of God. And he became morally bad. He became in a depraved, immoral state. And his child was born like him, and his child's child, and so forth, down to us. And we were born into this world in that same condition. We were born into this world condemned. But Jesus Christ died on Calvary. There is hope through Christ. You see, God would be a mean old bully. God would be unkind and unjust if he counted all men condemned when they had nothing to do with it. Why, you can't help the fact that you were born like your fathers. We can't help the fact that we were born in the image of Adam. We had nothing to do with that. But wait a minute. We can avoid going out into eternity in that condition by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You see, God Almighty knew that you had nothing to do with being born into this world, but God knew that you had a choice. And as a baby, you can't make a choice. Why, when I was 8, 9 days old, a year old, or whatever, they could have brought me into the church building and presented me before the Lord. I couldn't have chosen the Lord as my Savior. I couldn't have repented. I couldn't have believed on Christ. You are a moral individual, and you have a moral obligation to receive or reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are very immoral. The only means of salvation is by receiving Christ. He is the Savior. Notice the judgment of the lost. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, he said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And he said, the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he said, the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And he said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He said, this is the second death. In other words, there is a day coming when God Almighty is going to drag the individuals that are in hell now, drag them out of there, and they're going to stand before the judgment of Almighty God and give an account of every rotten, dirty thing they ever said and every deed they ever did and be judged for it. Why, you know, the Bible said that heaven and earth fled away and there's found no place for them. Well, I mean, there's no place to hide there. Individuals are going to stand naked before God there, and God Almighty is going to pronounce judgment. Why, there are going to be those that come as those in Matthew chapter 7 that's going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works in thy name? And haven't we cast out devils in thy name? And he'll say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And he'll say to the angels, take them and cast them into the furnace of fire. He said, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You can count on it. Judgment is sure. It's going to come. And you know something? Fascinating thing is, when Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, he bought every individual in this world. Jesus Christ bought Joseph Stalin there, Hitler, Castro, every individual that's ever been born, whether they believe on Jesus as their Savior or whether they reject him, God owns them and he owns you. Oh, you may not make him your master. You may never receive him. You may never bow before him in this life. But the Bible said there is a day coming when every knee is going to bend, every head is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess him, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I can see them in my mind's eye now. There in front of that judgment, I can see Castro out there on his face. I can see Stalin over there. I can see the great so-called atheist of the past as they bow down out there and they're hollering, Lord, Lord, Lord. They never bowed in this life. They'll bow in that. The judgment of the lost, you can't avoid it. You know something? You can humble yourself before God today and receive his Son as your Lord and Savior and go into eternal peace and happiness. But you can stiffen your neck and bow up in the back and resist and harden your face and say, I won't do it. I'm as good as anybody else. And on and on. And one day, you're going to come face to face with him and look him right in the eye and give an account of, why would you not do it? And hear him pronounce judgment upon you. The judgment of the lost, the destruction of the lost. Look in Matthew chapter 25, please. In Matthew chapter 25, and notice in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice down in verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The destruction of the lost, while the Bible says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever. The Bible said there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, the Bible said there was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day, and there was a beggar named Lazarus that laid his gate full of sores. Said even the dogs came and licked his sores, desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the Bible said that that beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Said the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes in torments, and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, in effect, there's a gulf fixed between us. He can't go to where you are. You can't come to where I am. And that man said, well, then I've got five brothers. Just send him back there that he might preach unto them, lest they come to this awful place of torment. Abraham said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, oh, but they won't believe Moses and the prophets. And Abraham said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither shall they believe though one rose from the dead. Now, you know, that tells me a lot of things. That tells me that the people that are cast into hell remember the deeds they did in this life. If you are a cigarette smoker, when you get into hell, you're going to crave them like you never have. If you smoke pot in this life, make no mistake about it. In hell, you're going to crave that like you never heard. If you're an alcoholic, you're going to want to drink worse than you ever heard of. All the things of this life, you're going to desire and know and recognize at that time, but you can't have it. No more. Eternal torture, eternal torment, eternal damnation. But you know something? People say, well, that's cruel. No, that isn't cruel. That is just. Why, their people don't want Jesus Christ. Their people don't want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, you don't have to be. You have a will of your own. You can receive him or you can reject him. Notice the search for the lost. Look in Luke chapter 19. You see, this is what's so fascinating about all this. If God didn't provide every means to get you saved, it might be cruel. But God provided every means to the fact of searching. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why, that's clear. God Almighty is searching for you right now. Why, the Bible says that his hands are stretched out like this. In other words, the Lord is beckoning you to come to Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling you by the message of the gospel and by the Holy Spirit for you to come to Jesus Christ. He's saying, in effect, come to the Son. Why, he said, come to the place where water is that you might drink. It's like people in the desert out there that are starving to death for water. And he's saying, here's water right here. It's like people that are trying to find life. They're trying to find peace in their heart and they can't. And he's saying, here's peace. How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why, the Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said, as you have received Christ, walk in him. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and the wrath of God abides on him. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember any time you ever received him? I remember receiving him. I remember it as if it were today. July 22nd, 1955, as a lost sinner, doomed, down, going to hell, I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that he saved me. I know when he saved me. I know what he saved me from, and I know what he saved me unto. I've got eternal life. Why, he said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Why, I know I've got eternal life.